Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Here ends our gospel reading. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A little while back, somebody tweeted out a question on Twitter. Which historical figure would you follow if you could? Now, I'm going to assume that many in our church and listening to this have never actually used Twitter. So here are some basics of the social media platform. Twitter is primarily a social media or publishing platform in which one can post your opinions, thoughts, jokes, questions, and quandaries for the wider world to see. And thereby others who like what you have to say can follow your account to see what you will post next. These posts can be up to 280 characters long. That is 280 characters, mind you, not 280 words. So you have a very limited amount of space to publish your thoughts, opinions, and beliefs for the wider world to see and comment on if they feel so inclined. Unlike Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat, Twitter is unique among social media platforms because it is primarily a text-based medium. In this day and age of people taking pictures and videos of pretty much everything they do, Twitter connects people to others through the ages, and that it relies heavily on written words instead of digital images. Yet, lest we think that Twitter might be some sort of 21st century savior of the written word, it is important for us to recognize that the medium favors raw outrage, audacious insults, and absolutist, heavily polarized opining on everything from politics and religion to parenting and education. A person stands out on the platform by avoiding compromise, sticking their heels in the ground, leveling harsh insults against those that they disagree with, and taking extreme positions in very short, terse phrasings on just about everything. So, once again, I found it interesting when the question was tweeted out. Which historical figure would you follow if you could? Not having an immediate answer myself, I first read what others wrote. There were pious answers like Jesus, Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr. There was a debate if it would be better to follow Jane Austen or Henry VIII. Not sure how those two got put side by side. Some people tweeted out that they would follow terrors from human history, like Genghis Khan or Adolf Hitler. My personal favorite, though I admit my bias, was Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, who simply tweeted, "Martin Luther." Ah, yes. Long before Twitter was around, our boy Martin Luther took the time to write down, revise, and publish on paper using 16th century printing presses, insults like, and I quote, "I would not smell the foul odor of your name." Or, "You are more stupid than a block of wood." And, "What pigsties could compare to goings on with you?" Finally, "You sophistic worms, grasshoppers, locusts, frogs, and lice." There are several other, even more choice insults from Luther's writings that would make Twitter followers proud these days. But I did not think they were appropriate to share in church, even in a church named after the guy. Yet, I dare say that John the Baptist just might have given even Martin Luther a run for his money when it comes to righteous insults against one's opponents. The forerunner to Christ, the ancient vagabond who hung out by the River Jordan, washed people with a baptism of repentance, wore camel skin and ate a steady diet of bugs and honey. I bet he had even more choice words for his opponents than our favorite German monk professor. John the Baptist was keenly aware of the hypocrisy of his age, especially the hypocrisy of the religious and political elite of his day, and he had no qualms about calling them out on it. When the Pharisees, the rabbis of his day, and the Sadducees, the temple priests, came out to meet him at the Jordan River, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Twitter-worthy indeed. He called these guys. And mind you, these guys had the power to kill him for upsetting the apple cart. He called them poisonous snakes who lie in wait to bite unsuspecting victims and kill them with their venom. He challenged them, saying that there were only bad things in store for their evil support of religious legalism and institutional oppression of the poor. And he went even further to say that there would be no repentance or forgiveness in store for them. Ouch! I am sure he had even more choice words for them that never made it into the Bible. John the Baptist was not one to mince words. He called out the hypocrites for their hypocrisy. He called out the oppressors for their oppression. He called out the wealthy and powerful for ruling at the expense of the poor. He called out the self-righteous for their lack of humility. And most importantly, he called out the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who came to bring heaven and earth together once again. John told it like it is, come hell or high water, and he eventually lost his head for his commitment to the truth. The world has always needed truth tellers like John the Baptist. Long before him, we see in our scriptures that God sent Moses to Pharaoh to speak truth to power so that the Hebrew people might be freed. Through the centuries after our Lord's death and resurrection, God has used messengers to call people, both pagan and Christian, to recognize and deal with what God is up to in the world. Famous John the Baptist-like figures from Christian history are those like St. Patrick, who directly challenged pagan beliefs in Ireland, and St. Olaf, who did the same in Scandinavia. Or our boy Martin Luther, who took on the exploitative heresy of the Pope and his men. Just like abolitionists, who called out the evils of slavery in America, and civil rights leaders who challenged the injustices of segregation policies that followed. The world needs voices to rise up against evil, against oppression, and against injustice, even if the messengers end up paying for the truth they carry with their lives. And God uses these John the Baptist-like figures to call out evil for what it is, so that God's light might shine through. He was a forerunner to Christ, because the people needed a voice to wake them up, tell them that things needed to change, and then promise them that this change was coming. John the Baptist was sent specifically to shake things up so that the people would more fully realize their need for the Messiah. And he did this precisely by calling the religious leaders who came to meet him at the waters of the Jordan, a brood of vipers. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Yet, just as important as John's harsh words against the establishment was the fact that they gave way to the Messiah who was coming next. The truth behind other voices that cry out in the wilderness are not the same as John the Baptist's if they do not give way to Christ. His message did not stand alone, but was given to us for a far higher, everlasting purpose. John's words of law and justice against the establishment of his day were not profound and prophetic on their own. They were so important because they shook things up and then gave way to the Messiah's message of mercy, grace, and wholeness. What good is it to call out the darkness if the light does not shine through? John's words of rebuke to a lost world gave way to Jesus' message of love and redemption for that same lost world. John showed the people how dark and bleak the status quo was around them, so that the sun could come and shine light on all of their despair. John the Baptist told the truth and was killed for it, so that the Son of God, who is the way, the truth, and the life, could come to redeem him and everyone else. His message speaks through the centuries to call out the darkness that surrounds us still. You brood of vipers, John says to the forces of violence, poverty, racism, sexism, illness, and even says it to death itself in the 21st century. And to those of you who felt the sting of their venom, Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you life." To all who suffer under the darkness that fills this world of ours, the light of Christ is coming into the world for you. And the light of Christ will illumine your way forward forever. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.